Lord Jesus, welcome. Good morning. Welcome to Squim Community Church. It's wonderful to see you all, and thank you for joining us on our live stream this morning. We are entering our third week of Advent and celebrating the coming of Jesus. And this morning, we have our Advent scripture and candle being read and lit by the Franco family. So let's watch this video together.
Encendiendo la vela de los pastores. Hoy encendemos la tercera vela de Adviento. Esta es la vela de los pastores. Los pastores fueron los primeros en escuchar acerca del nacimiento del Mesías. Ellos fueron los primeros en ver al bebé y fueron los primeros en decir a otros las buenas nuevas del nacimiento.
Había pastores en la misma región que velaban y guardaban las vigilias de la noche sobre su rebaño. Y he aquí, se les presentó un ángel del Señor, y la gloria del Señor los rodeó de resplandor, y tuvieron gran temor. Pero el ángel les dijo, «No temáis, porque he aquí, os doy nuevas de gran gozo, que será para todo el pueblo». Que os ha nacido hoy en la ciudad de David un Salvador, que es Cristo el Señor. Esto os servirá de señal. Hallaréis al niño envuelto en pañales, acostado en un pesebre. Y repentinamente apareció con el ángel una multitud de las huestes celestiales que alababan a Dios y decían:
Gloria a Dios en las alturas. Y en la tierra paz, buena voluntad para con los hombres. Sucedió que cuando los ángeles se fueron de ellos al cielo, los pastores se dijeron unos a otros, pasemos pues hasta Belén y veamos esto que ha sucedido y que el Señor nos ha manifestado. Vinieron pues apresuradamente y hallaron a María y a José y al niño acostado en el pesebre. Y al verlo, dieron a conocer lo que se les había dicho del niño. Y todos los que oyeron se maravillaron de lo que los pastores les decían. Lucas 2:8-18.
Con la tercera vela encendida, nosotros, al igual que los pastores, reconocemos que debemos venir a Cristo, creer en Él y decir a otros las buenas nuevas.
Peace on earth. Steadfast, never failing, you are faithful. All creation is in awe of who you are. You're the healer of the sick and the broken. You are comfort for every heart that mourns. Our King and our Savior forever. Eternity, we will sing of all you've done. For eternity, we will sing of all you've done. We sing, God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. God with us. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. For eternity, we will sing of all you've done. We sing, God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. There was death, you brought life, Lord.
Holy God, we do come to adore you. You are worthy, God, to be adored and worshiped. You are God that is worthy of our very best each and every day. You are God that is worthy to be shared with those around us. A God who is worthy to be told and proclaimed by others. God, you are worthy of all the celebration that is happening this Christmas season. And you are worthy because you chose us. From long ago, the prophets have reminded us that, well, Christmas isn't a brand new thing. That you coming to be the Messiah of the world, the Savior of the world, well, that's been your plan all along. And that you would plan this, that you would choose us. How are we to respond other than to declare that you are the Savior of our life, the Lord of our going and coming each and every day? And as we adore you, as we worship you, we understand your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your holiness. And you hold out for us the right example in every circumstance and relationship in life. Yet we know that we've fallen short of your mark, or we've missed the mark this week. And we want to confess that sin to you. Allow us, Lord, as we adore you and worship you, to place that confession in your hands and take away not guilt and shame as the world would give, but that we would draw away a forgiveness that cleanses us from unrighteousness all the way to the core of our being, our soul. We thank you for all that is around us, all that we're able to enjoy in this season. And as we thank you for all that is happening, our ability to stand in the midst of all that is taking place right now is a great testimony to how the Holy Spirit empowers us in the midst of our anxiety, our stress, our worry, our depression. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those that are serving you around the world today. We pray, as we regularly do, for the leaders of the world, the leaders of our country, our local leaders as well. We are thankful that you give us hope each and every day. We even have hope now in the midst of the COVID-19 lockdown. You are God of hope. You are God of the future. And you remind us that your heart of heart is that we would succeed, that we would make it through things that are difficult, that we would get to the other side. And we're thankful that that other side is guaranteed to us because of eternity. So Jesus, as we worship you today and lift you up, I pray that you would lift us up as well in this special Advent season. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Let's thank our leaders today, Christy and Isaac. If you're worried that we're only allowed to have two people up front, they are actually married to each other. They're under the same roof, so they count as one. And then Kirk counts as number two. And since they've left now, I get to be the third part of the Trinity. I mean, the third person who's up front. It's great that you're with us on live stream this morning. We are moving ahead this Christmas season. We've got some great things happening. Let me get my notes so I can tell you everything that's going on. This week we adopted 8 families from the Gray Wolf Elementary School. The counselors called and they've vetted these families. We've asked for the 8 families with the most children. And our goal is to give some families that would not have a Christmas some Christmas this Christmas. So if you want to be a part of adopting a family, you can go online and make a gift and note in the notes memo section that you would like this to go to adopt a family. Same thing, if you mail in a check, just put adopt a family in the memo line. Don't forget the mission tree. Our goal is to give a Christmas gift to all of the missionaries and mission organizations that we support. Christmas Eve services are at 5:30 and at 7. They'll both be here in the Fellowship Center. They will both be live streamed. So if you're unable to be with us on Christmas Eve, you can do that with us virtually. There will be a candle lighting at 5:30, communion only at 7:30. I think I should also tell you that Children and Youth Ministries are going to remain virtual through the 20th, and then they're on a Christmas break. So you can check in with Jennifer and with Keith about what is happening virtually. And if you have a need, if you're a student or one of our youth, please call the office or call them directly. They are available and ready to minister to you. This morning we have our scripture reading. It's coming from Nikki James Compton, who is our elder of youth ministry.
Good morning, SEC family. Today's scripture reading is from Luke 2, verses 8 through 20, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by the sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Peace. We read here in our scripture passage that God came to bring peace. Jesus came to bring peace to the world. Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Peace is something we could really use at this time. People around me seem to be, well, anything but at peace. There's a whole variety of emotions. Peace and celebration are the ones that we're digging down and grabbing a hold of this COVID Christmas season. We want to have peace, yet we're just not at peace with all that's going on, with all the challenges and all the changes. Not everyone is filled with positive emotion this Christmas season. Not everyone is feeling all that at peace with what is going on. And so this great declaration is, well, it's a great word to all of us. God came to this planet not to give us more anxiety and more negative emotions, just the opposite. He came to calm and change those negative emotions. He came to give us peace. Now, Christmas in and of itself is, well, it cannot be all of that peaceful of experience. In fact, it can be filled on a day-to-day basis in Advent with, at least some challenging emotions, if not some negative emotions. Am I wrong? Aren't we a little anxious when Christmas comes? Got to make our list. We have to buy our presents. We have to look around and pay attention to those around us so we get just the right gift. And it makes us a little anxious. Too many things to do, too many things in a challenging environment to do. It also stresses us out, right? We get a little worried. Will they like what I bought them? We get a little stressed out. So we've got to get everything wrapped, and then we have to get everything in the mail. Then, of course, well, Christmas can be riddled with some fear and a little depression. We have some fear in Christmas. And those fears are, well, did I buy enough? Will they like what I gave them? Are they going to give something to me? Will I have enough money to pay for all of this wonderful Christmas that I've purchased for other people? We get a little depressed. We can't be included in what happens outside of our house this Christmas. And we wonder, will we have anyone to be with? We need some peace when it comes to anxiety and stress and our own depression. Our own sense of feeling alone this Christmas season, even though we're connected virally with one another. And so Jesus coming is an opportunity to have peace, real inner peace, in the midst of the challenges. Because Christmas, Jesus connects us with God. And we're searching for peace in so many other places. Why not look for peace that's, well, out of this world? That's beyond the human experience. That is generated from a God who loves us, not just some internal generating. I know I'm going to really make myself be at peace this Christmas season. And it's not as though you're not a part of that equation, but, well, God's the biggest part of that equation. Peace does come from being connected with God, and that's why Jesus came. He came because God has placed inside of each one of us a yearning to connect with him. Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has placed a sense of eternity inside each and every one of us. And how that plays out is a yearning for a peace that goes beyond all human understanding. A peace that can be ours in the midst of confusion and chaos and all the things to do at Christmas time. God wants us to know that he wants to be in relationship with us. And that is what Christmas is all about. What we learn is that God has been working to be in relationship with us well before the foundations of the world were set in their place. See, Christmas declares three very important things about God to us. Three important things that as we connect with God gives us a real sense of peace and meaning this Christmas season. Our scripture tells us that God has been actively looking for us for a long time. That God has been working on his part of connecting with each one of us. Luke 2:11, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. God is bridging the gap between him and us, between the divine and the internal and the temporal and the human. He's come at just the right time. And as he's come, he's come to be the Lord and Savior of our life, the leader of our life. He wants to lead us each and every day. He wants to comfort us and give us peace in the midst of the challenges and the negative emotions we might be feeling today. Oh, he's been working. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Listen to what the great Apostle Paul says. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made the light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus. Seen in the face of Jesus Christ. See, what do we see as we peer into the face of Jesus? As we look over into the manger scene, do we just see a human baby? Do we see the end of a long journey of Mary and Joseph? Something that's, well, it's worth some celebration. Something to remember. Or as we peer into the face of the baby Jesus, do we see God? Do we see the hope for the world and the hope for us? As we peer into the manger, we see a God who loves us. And a God who has been working to be in relationship with us. And we need him to do that. It isn't though we haven't tried to get connected with God. But it seems all of our effort, all of our concern, it seems to fall short. It seems to miss the mark. And God knows we can't get to him on our own. God knows that he's the one that has to bridge the gap, that finite human beings cannot connect with an infinite and transcendent God. It is up to this infinite, transcendent God to love us so much that he bridges the gap, that he chooses to become finite and human and dwell just like you and I have. And that's the real story of Christmas. The real story of Christmas is God has been working at connecting with us. And God has worked because God really desires to be in relationship with us. I know that worries some of us a little bit. We're not all that good. We're not all that great. Why would God want to be in relationship with us? And the answer to that is because it's God's nature and character. That's why we're created in His image. That yearning to be connected to Him. And God desires that with us as well. Verse 20 of Luke 2. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. See, the Christmas story is exactly what we've been told, what we've yearned for, what had been prophesied and predicted thousands of years before. A truth that God wants to be in a relationship with us. That He came to earth. That He will die upon the cross. That He will resurrect. And because of our relationship with Him, we too will resurrect. See, the truth of Christmas is simply, we don't choose God. God chooses us. And we can only choose God because He's chosen us first. He's been working. He's the one that has always desired, even before we were born, that we would be called by Him. We would choose Him. 1 John 4:10. This is real love, not that we love God, but that He loves us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And while we know we need our sins taken away, we know that because we're at odds with ourselves when we know God desires to be in relationship with us. You know, how many things that we've said and done or not said and not done would we be embarrassed of if Jesus were standing there next to us? That's why we need confession every week. We know that God chooses us and we want to be worthy of Him choosing us. He not only wants to love us, but we want to love Him in return. And yes, that's a challenge in a fallen world. And it isn't, though, that God wants to make us pay just the opposite, John tells us. God is the one who pays. God gives us what we need, not what we deserve. He does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And that is the Christmas story. That is a result of God choosing us first. And then our response to His irresistible invitation to be in relationship with us. Yes, He's been working. He's been working to connect with us this Christmas season. And He's been working on that because His heart's desire is to be connected with us, to be in relationship with us. Now, He hasn't left it for us to just know this. He's been also communicating that to us. He's been communicating the message of Christmas for a long, long time. And he wants us to know that he wants to be in relationship with us, and he invites us into a relationship with him. The angel said, I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. See, that's God. God wants to bring great joy to all people. That he came so that the whole world would know that he loves humanity. That he loves us. That he wants to extend a personal invitation to each one of us. To know him. And to know him is to be at peace. To be at peace with what happens to us after we die. To be at peace on what's up ahead. The things that fill us with anxiety and stress, concern, fear, depression. He wants us to know that he has a plan for each one of us. And Christmas declares that we too can know him, enjoy him, and receive a peace from him this Christmas that passes all human understanding. The Christmas story also tells us that we should not only be connected with Jesus, but because of our connection with Jesus, we should be connected with others this Christmas season. And that's not easy to do when we can't gather, when we can't enjoy one another's company. Yet it's true at Christmas time, we realize that, well, as humanity, we have a tendency to get disconnected with one another. And when we think about that person, instead of it bringing joy to us, it brings us hurt. It brings us worry. We're perplexed with those that we're in argument with, that we're disconnected with this Christmas season, that we ought to be connected to. That really in our heart's heart, we want to be connected to them. We want to declare to them, I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. It'll bring great joy to you. And Christmas casts a floodlight on all our disconnected relationships, doesn't it? We've taken them off of our list. We've considered them no longer nice. Those are naughty people, and they should not enjoy Christmas with us. Yet you've noticed you're not really completely at peace with that. What do we do this Christmas season to be connected with others, to bring a sense of joy to them this Christmas season? Well, I think there's three things we can do to reconnect with those people that we're disconnected with this Christmas season. Those that, well, we'd rather be connected with them than disconnected with them, but you don't know what they've done to me. And I don't know what they've done to you. I don't know what they've said or what they haven't said. I don't know what they've done or what they forgot to do. But they did end up on your naughty list. You have pushed them out of the circle of your life. And to be at peace at Christmas time is to make every effort to draw them back into your circle. How do we do that? First, you got to pray a lot. You have to pray a lot, and you have to get your own heart right. And to do that, it's all right to acknowledge the hurt, the loss, the grief that that person has caused us. The bad thing that they've done to us. And it's deep within us. It's not just a small thing. It's something significant and deep within us. And as we get our heart right, what we want to do is forgive them before we even go to them. Colossians 3:13, that's the bottom line for me. I got to forgive them because Christ has forgiven me. And look at all he's forgiven me of. Wow. He's a great God. He's a loving God. He is a forgiving God. And as we pray to get our own mind, heart, and soul right, we know we're moving in a godly direction, because then we want to extend forgiveness. And extending forgiveness is not about what they deserve. No, forgiveness is about releasing them. Releasing yourself. From all those bad feelings, all of that angst that you've been collecting over the Christmases. Yeah, you could fill a big red bag with it, couldn't you? Fill the whole back of the sleigh. And the only thing that stops that angst, that anger, that disappointment, that hurt, is to forgive that person. And how do we do that? We can only do that when we realize that God has forgiven us, and look at all the, well, naughty things, sinful things that we've done, that Jesus has forgiven us from. Washed away the guilt and the shame of that in our life. And so we get our own mind right, our own heart right, our own soul right, and we'll know we're righting ourselves because now we're challenged to forgive them before we even talk. And everyone can extend forgiveness to another person. That doesn't mean you'll be reconciled. That takes forgiveness from both sides. And maybe this Christmas season, they don't forgive you, but you can forgive them. And why do we do that? Boy, does that bring a peace to us. Ah, it's just a load off of our mind, heart, and soul, isn't it? The second thing we need to do is we need to sit down and address the real issue, at least from our side. And of course, we come humbly to someone else. We've already forgiven them. That's taken care of a lot of the angst and anger that we have. And we approach them and we share what our hurt is. And then we ask them and we listen to them about, well, their side of it. Why are they so hurt? Why have they said this or done this or not said something and not done something? And it often takes our greatest concentration to listen to someone tell us what has gone on from their side. And so we have to be careful about our anger. We have to be careful about retreating in our anger and pouting. Well, that's how you got where you are in that relationship. Disconnected. And here you create the hope of a connection, of peace between you and someone else. The aim always is reconciliation. We want to forgive them, and we have forgiven them. The only question is, can they forgive us? Can there be a setting aside of the difficult emotions and having a conversation about what's gone on? And the answer to that is yes, we can. And our aim and our hope is always that we'd have reconciliation with another person. But sometimes we just have to agree to disagree. They have their perception of what went on, and I have my perception of what went on. And there, all we can do is ask for forgiveness for what we've done, in the hope that that'll bring reconciliation and a peace to this broken, angst-filled relationship. Jesus Christ came to this planet so that we could be in harmony with God and in harmony with one another. God wants us to connect with Him this Christmas season. And it's true, He wants us to try to reconnect with those that we've been disconnected from for quite some time. And we forgive only because He's forgiven us. We can only love Him because He's loved us first. And the proof of that love in our own mind, hearts, and souls is that we too get a joy and a peace that is magnified for us at Christmas time. Let us pray. Lord God, we want to reconnect or connect with You this Christmas season. It makes so much sense to us that You've been working, You've been desiring, You've been communicating to us that You want to be in relationship with us. And as we hear that call today, we know it's an irresistible invitation that You want to make to each one of us. And so we ask You to be the leader of our life. Lord, some of us have kind of drifted and kind of gone our own way again this Christmas season. And we want to reconnect with You. In our admitting of our sins, You give us forgiveness. And that forgiveness is marked with a peace and a joy. And Lord, to those that we would like to reconnect with, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would go before that conversation, that we, in our own right, can get our own mind and heart in alignment, that we can extend forgiveness before even a conversation takes place. But Lord, in that conversation, help us to speak and to listen. And wherever our emotions might want to go awry, Lord, align us with Your joy and Your peace, Your hope in a reconnected relationship. Lord God, surround us with Your presence and Your peace this Christmas season. And we pray these things in Your name. Amen.
Love incarnate, love divine. child is born. He shall reign forevermore. No.
Loves us so much that you give us peace. Jesus, you said, let my peace be in you. And so we just thank you today for that, that we can know you, that we can love you, that we can walk in this peace. And just like Pastor Scott was talking this morning, Lord, we pray for peace and reconciliation in our relationships. I pray you would bless this church, give them your peace that surpasses understanding today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys again for joining us. It was wonderful to see you all and be with you all. The Lord bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday.